Awareness, the final frontier. These are the explorations of Jonathan Robinson and Brian Tom O'Connor. Their continuing mission, to discover fresh new paths to the mystery within, to seek out new joys and new methods of awakening, to boldly go into the heart of expanded consciousness. This is Awareness Explorers.
Welcome, welcome, fellow explorers. Good to have you back or here for the first time. I'm Jonathan Robinson, and I'm here with my trusty co-host,
Brian Tom O'Connor.
I love our little rhythm there. Anyways, I'm excited about today's topic. We call it contemplation. It's a little known or rarely used spiritual method that I have a fair amount of experience with. And in going over Ajahn Chah's teachings, he says there's basically three methods to awakening. One is inquiry, one is meditation, and one is contemplation. Well, a lot of us know about inquiry and meditation, but we rarely talk about contemplation. So when I use that word, Brian, what comes to mind for you?
Well, initially, what comes to mind is thinking about something and cogitating about something, but that's actually not what you mean. We're not talking about running concepts through your mind to think about whether they're true or false. We're talking about a deep spiritual truth that you can run through your mind, but then let it drop silently and wordlessly into the depths of your being. Is that what you're talking about? At least that's what I'm guessing you're talking about.
Well, let me contemplate that for a little bit. You know, really, as with any word that you use in spirituality, prayer, meditation, inquiry, whatever, everybody has different thoughts and concepts about. So the first thing to do, if you're going to have an intelligent or going to try to have an intelligent spiritual exploration, is ask yourself, well, what the hell are we talking about here? And I thought a good way of doing that would be to use Ajahn Chah's description of contemplation as a starting point. And then we can talk about our experiences with this little used but very wonderful jewel. So this is what Ajahn Chah says about contemplation in his book, The Way of Liberation. He says, contemplation is the art of holding a word or a phrase patiently in the silence and stillness of awareness, until it begins to disclose deeper and deeper meanings and understandings. Contemplation has a power to transcend beyond the limits of analytical thought and open consciousness up to an order of wisdom and truth that can only be described as revelation. And then he goes on to say, while contemplation may seem quite simple, it can be very powerful. In the Zen tradition, phrases, questions, or short teaching stories called koans are used as objects of contemplation and meditation to great and powerful effect in sparking awakening. In fact, most esoteric systems of spirituality have used various forms of contemplation to elicit moments of revelation. So I think he words things really well. And, you know, I was looking it up on Wikipedia and seeing that, you know, there's Christian contemplation, there's what Plato said about, there's Jewish contemplation, there's other systems I've come across, but they all kind of hold a word or phrase or a sentence in mind, and you use that as a launching pad to see if you can launch yourself into the deeper space. And as with most spiritual descriptions, the description does not really coincide with what the experience can be. The experience can be really life transforming. Do you have a background in doing any kind of contemplation, Brian?
Yes, I think that all the awareness practices are actually a form of contemplation. For me, they all arise from teachings of Ramana Maharshi, the great Indian sage of the middle of the 20th century, who asked the question, who am I? And another great Indian sage, Nisargadatta Maharaj, said, stay with the sense, I am. And basically, you hold that thought, I am, not I am this or I am that, just I am. And you let that sink into your consciousness and you keep returning to it over and over again. I am. And you really drop into the clear field, the background of awareness that we talk about here on our podcast as being the source of joy and love and acceptance and allowing. So my experience of that is that that's what does it for me, not the contemplation of the idea of something or the concept of something, but the experience, or better yet, the experiencer. What is doing the experiencing? It is I. What is the nature of this I? Experience it directly. Is it clear? Is it open? Is it infinite? Is it allowing?
You know, that's why it's so important to define these things, because in some ways there can be a fine line between contemplation and inquiry. And to me, what you just described sounds more like inquiry, although there are no firm and fast edges to these things. What do you see as the difference between contemplation and inquiry?
If used correctly, I don't see a distinction. I believe that they are actually the same. As a matter of fact, as you know, I'm a purist, and I believe that there really is only one practice, which is being knowingly the presence of awareness. And that whether you're talking about a contemplation or you're talking about an inquiry, if you are not being awareness itself, in other words, if your focus is on an object, then that's not the real practice. If the focus is on what that object appears in, then that's a real practice. And whether you call it inquiry or whether you call it contemplation, in my opinion, if used correctly, they're the same.
Well,
how
we
about
don't.
You? Do you,
we
how
don't
about
get
you?
To...
You see them as. I'm sorry. How about you? You see them as different?
I do see them as different. I see that they can end up in the same place or not, but we often have a lot of agreement, whereas here I will disagree with you and say that there's a difference between an awareness practice that gets you to the place of pure awareness and a contemplation practice that is not trying to get you to pure awareness. It's trying to get you to have a revelation that somehow affects your being, but is not based in being awareness. For example, here's a contemplation that I used for a while. The words, the creation loves me. So I would take this phrase, the creation loves me, or you could use God loves me, or the creator loves me, or spirit loves me, whatever. And I would just sit with this over and over again and kind of let it drop into a deep place. And I guess I would say that I tuned into the vibration of feeling loved by the universe, which is different than the vibration of being awareness. And by doing this over and over, I got to the sense that there is a way of being in which I feel truly loved and supported by creation, which is not my normal experience. My normal experience is, you know, creation keeps screwing things up and I'm here to set them right, which is not as fun a way of being in the world. So that had impact on me when I really grokked the sense that the creation loves me is a way that one could be in the world. And there's other contemplations. You know, anytime you find a phrase that's kind of provoking for you, it can be used as a contemplation. One phrase I like is, now is the most important moment of my life. Mm-hmm. Because now is the only moment I have ever been in. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you can take that on the surface level and yeah, that's, you know, that would make a nice bumper sticker. But like all of wisdom is in that statement, or, you know, it can like deconstruct your whole sense of past, future, ambitions, everything, if you really get to the core of that statement. And I would just sit with it until somewhere in me, I realize now is the only moment that I'm ever in. And therefore, now is the most important moment of my life. And that's different than being awareness. So I'm wondering what your reaction to all that is.
Well, my reaction is, yes, I believe it's true that now is the only moment I have ever been in. It's the only moment any of us have ever been in. It's the only moment that is actually possible to exist. Past and future never existed and never will. So I think that's real deep and a wonderful object of contemplation. And as for the first one, I applaud anything that you or anyone else does that makes them feel loved, that makes them feel good, that adds to their happiness. However, when I think of a phrase like creation loves me, I think, yes, that is true, but now we're putting creation as something out there and me as something here and something that's separate. And I just think it can go deeper than that. Mm-hmm. I am creation. Creation, there is only one thing, energy, in the entire universe. It's the same thing looking out my eyes as looking out your eyes. It is totally allowing, and therefore it is love. So instead of creation loves me, and I applaud anyone who wants to use that phrase. I think it's a beautiful phrase. I would just prefer I am love itself.
Well, I like that one. Can I steal it, or have you patented it already?
No, I think we should borrow each other's. In fact, why don't you, we should just, you know, you should say, I am love itself, and I'm going to go with creation loves me, and we'll try it for a little while. And
we'll do dueling contemplative phrases.
Exactly. Except we'll skip the banjo music.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, well, you bring up an interesting point, and that is that at different places in one's spiritual journey, and for different people, different contemplative phrases will work or not. Mm-hmm. And so you have to choose a phrase that seems to fit for you.
Yes.
In Ajahn Shanti's book, he lists like 30 of them. And a dozen of them I hated. Like, oh, that doesn't work for me at all.
Uh-huh.
You know,
I've had that experience too.
So you definitely want to come up with something that works for you. And in fact, sometimes I'll hear a phrase or I will see it in a book and I'll write it in my journal. And then I will spend an hour contemplating that phrase. And it's a very specific technique. You know, let's say the phrase is, the creation loves me. Or here's one that I like. It's all right here. It's all right here. And I will just sit with that and see what it stirs up in me and try to allow it to guide me into either an experience or a opening to a new way of looking at the world. And if I get spaced out, then I'll repeat it a few times. It's all right here. And I'll sometimes even emphasize different words. It's all right here. It's all right here. It's all right here. It's all right here. You know?
Yes.
And you start to see what I like about this is that, you know, modern day life is so fast moving and superficial in a certain way, that you take something like this and you use it to go very, very deeply below the surface. And you start to see that there is a major below the surface with everything, you know, with every phrase, with every story, with every person. And in that way, it's helped me to be aware that I'm always missing 99% of what's going on. So that's one way I use this. And, you know, different phrases work for me. Sometimes I'll try a phrase and it's like going down a rabbit hole. And other times it's like, yeah, that didn't really work.
Well, as you know, we often encourage our listeners to be their own experts and to use what works for them. Because things that work for one person are not going to work for another. And as we've also discussed, sometimes things that work today for us might not work tomorrow, and vice versa. For example, I had a lot of experience studying with Locke Kelly. And Locke Kelly calls them glimpse practices, but I really think that they can be used as contemplations in the way you describe it. And he had one which I had heard many, many times over many, many meetings and workshops and retreats with Locke. And basically it went like this. He would ask this question: what is here now when there is no problem to solve? And I liked it, and I thought it was good, and I got it. And then one time I went to an all-day workshop with Locke, and he asked it again: what is here now when there is no problem to solve? And he added, what is here just now when you are not the problem solver? And this went through me like a thunderbolt. I said, oh my God, my entire self-definition is made up of the activity of solving problems, of trying to see what's wrong with the present moment and how to fix it and how to change it. And when I drop that activity of fixing, of changing, of problem solving, my experience of myself and my identity, it's very hard to describe. You could say it expanded, but that's not really true. You might say it wasn't really there. It was shown as being actually nothing, just thought, just air, just emptiness. And I found this to be very profound. And here's an example of one that I had heard many times and practiced with, but it didn't really plumb the depths until that one day.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great story. I sometimes use a similar contemplation, which is everything's perfect just as it is.
Yes.
And that is like a turbocharged engine that can take you to another world. Plus, what I find interesting is that my mind will also resist a really good contemplative phrase.
Yeah.
Like it says, no, not that, help! You know, that's going to kill us. So sometimes the fact that there's a resistance doesn't mean that it's not a good phrase for you. It means that that is what's coming up because a part of your mind knows that it's about to be exploded.
Yes. And sometimes for me, the resistance comes in the form of arguing about it. Wait a minute, how can that be true? You know, for instance, Rumi said, the universe is not outside of you. Look inside yourself. Everything that you want, you already are. And I was, and my mind would come in and say, wait a minute, you mean that tree outside there is not outside me? It's actually inside me. And then I would come up with all the logical stuff. But if I just temporarily, I said, okay, just for now, just for the time I'm contemplating this, let go of the logical stuff and think, the universe is not outside of you. Look inside yourself. Everything that you want, you already are. And let go. And just let it sink in quietly. It can go deep.
Yeah, yeah. That's beautiful. The first time I actually became aware of the method of contemplation, I was in Israel. And I was given a tour because I'd written some books. People knew who I was to some extent. And they said, I want you to see something. They took me to a room. It was a huge room, almost the size of a football field, with maybe 600 people poring over the Torah, the Old Testament, often Hasidic Jews. And what they would do, they were actually paid by the Israeli government to do this, which I found amazing. They would take like a one sentence in the Torah, and they would spend a friggin' week on that one sentence, like seven people huddled around it, dissecting it, trying to get it, trying to contemplate it, trying to understand it more fully. And then they'd go on to the next sentence the next week or the next day or whatever it was. But these guys look so high. I thought you'd look into their eyes and they look like they were on drugs, but they weren't on drugs. They were just using this method of contemplation.
Wow.
And it got me curious, like, wow, this doesn't seem like that interesting of a thing. But these guys are certainly taking it very, very far. And that made me realize, well, maybe that's something that could be part of my spiritual repertoire, because I have a tendency to move at a fast pace. And this is very much letting something come to you and going to deeper and deeper levels. And I think we all could use that nowadays.
We sure can. I like that story. That's so interesting. And I can imagine being in a group of people like that, all getting high on contemplating a deep truth, as long as we're not discussing the logic of the deep truth among us and we're simply allowing that deep truth in, almost wordlessly.
Well, so as with a lot of the things we discuss on this podcast, you know, you make it an exploration. What's it like to spend an hour with a phrase that means something to you? What happens? Mm-hmm. Then you might do it with a friend. You know, it might be more thought-based as you're going back and forth, but sometimes you can trigger each other into even discussing a phrase and going deeper and deeper with it. So there's no rules. The only rule is, does it seem to have a positive effect on you? And as these Jews did in Israel, having 5, 6, 7 people discussing the same phrase and what it means to them and trying to dive within it to a place of deeper reality, you know, there's a lot of possibilities out there. And I think the more things that we can put forth, and the more things you try, the more you find what really does work for you at this point in your life.
Yeah. I'm having that experience right now, just actually talking to you about this.
Uh-huh.
It's really a very positive thing. I'm finding that our discussion is starting to bypass my rational, logical mind and going into the deep recesses of pure experience as we talk about this. It's kind of fun, and it is kind of like a high.
Uh-huh, right. A lot of times when I will do this, I sense that my vibration is going from the vibration of my normal everyday mind into another place. You know, it might be one phrase which I got from this course I took that they wanted you to contemplate was, praise the creation for the all-conscious sun. And they gave us a day to contemplate that phrase. Praise the creation for the all-conscious sun. And I thought, what a stupid phrase that is. What the hell they want us to do with that one? And so that was my initial reaction. But it was, you know, a 7-hour course, and that was the only phrase you got. So it ends up, I had one of the highest days of my life by contemplating this phrase where I started to see that everything we know on the physical plane comes from the sun. That no sun, no life, no nothing here. And starting to feel my relationship with the sun and praise the creation that this thing cooked the every molecule in my body, and it all comes. I mean, in a way, the sun is God to us, because without it, we're not here. And I got very, very high. So sometimes you don't know what phrase will do it for you, because there might be initial resistance. But as you get beyond that, you enter into a whole new part of your being that you didn't know necessarily was there.
And that's what it's all about. That's what we're exploring.
Yeah, yeah. This is a quote from Plato about contemplation.
Okay.
What you should contemplate are the realities underlying individual appearances.
Yes.
You know, that's basically try to see that everything's one. And I like that as a very simple definition of contemplation. Mm-hmm. This is what Wikipedia says about Christian contemplation. It is a content-free mind directed towards the awareness of God as the living reality.
Wow, that's a really good one. It's so tempting to think of God as something outside of ourselves, other than ourselves, whereas I think of it as all there is, that there is nothing that is not God.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's where another aspect of contemplation is to come up with words that work for you. In one contemplation, they would use the word star and then the rest of the word. So like the creation loves me, but it would be star loves me. And they said, put your own word in there that works for you. So it could be God, it could be spirit, it could be existence, it could be the universe. So you can tailor make these contemplative phrases so that they didn't just annoy you, but they actually worked for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come up with your own, tailor make them, and maybe take a look at the ones that annoy you and maybe see why.
Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. And sometimes our annoyance is what keeps us from the next deeper level of reality. So it's not necessarily a sign that something's wrong. It's a sign that it is being protected from going even deeper underneath it to something more profound.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of profound, I'm thinking of guiding people on a contemplative meditation, unless you have any final words you want to say about this.
Oh, I think you should do that, but I do have one last contemplative quote, again, also from Rumi, that I really, really love. And it's, stop acting so small. You are the universe in ecstatic motion.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I will sit with that. And you are the universe in ecstatic motion. And this just speaks to me so deeply and informs my life, because sometimes I'm shy or inhibited or afraid to just be without any idea that things should be different or that I should be different or that I am wrong or bad or other people are. And there's something freeing about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry for the digression. I would love to hear your contemplation.
Well, I think I'm going to begin by using that phrase because I liked it. And I would invite people to make themselves comfortable, if you can, to close your eyes and take a deep breath, relax. And try to feel your center, a quiet place within you. And from this quiet place, I'll introduce a phrase. And imagine that this phrase is being dropped into the still pond of your being within you. And as it's dropped into there, let its ripples of meaning and profoundness affect a deeper part of you. And the first phrase would be, you are the universe in ecstatic motion. You are the universe in ecstatic motion. Just allow that phrase to reverberate and see where it leads you. If you get too spacey, just reintroduce the phrase, you are the universe in ecstatic motion. If thoughts come up, just allow them or notice them, let them pass through, and then once again dive into the phrase, you are the universe in ecstatic motion. And we're going to introduce one other phrase for you to contemplate for 2 or 3 minutes. And this phrase is, everything is perfect just as it is. Everything is perfect just as it is. Drop that phrase into the center of your being and see where it takes you. Everything is perfect, just as it is. Everything is perfect, just as it is. Now allow yourself to gently let go of that phrase and feel your body against wherever you're sitting. And slowly come back to your physical space and notice how you feel. Notice what those contemplations' effect was on you in the short period of time that you were practicing with them. And when you're ready, take as much time as you need. Slowly begin to open your eyes. Maybe with that phrase, everything's perfect just as it is, as you first look out into the three-dimensional world. Noticing any counter thoughts and letting them go, because you know that everything is perfect just as it is. Well, welcome back. I had the great joy of being able to watch your reaction to that, Brian. It looked like you were getting very, very high there.
I sure was. As a matter of fact, actually, I just have two words, ecstatic and perfect.
Well, great.
Yes, I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that very much.
Yeah, it's a very simple, sweet method, and I think one that is very underutilized and underexplored for our fellow explorers.
Yep.
So
I do have one tip. If you find yourself arguing with it, like saying, now, wait a minute, everything isn't perfect. Look at such and such that's happening in the world and such that's happening in my life. Then you might think that maybe you're not quite doing it right. And I would just, if you find yourself doing that and you find that as an obstacle to this, just start with a what if. What if everything was perfect, just exactly as it is? So you short-circuit the idea that you have to believe something.
Yeah.
And then just let the contemplation drop into your being. That's just in case. Just a little tip in case that's how people experience it. But I was able to enjoy that in a deep way. So thank you so much for that, Jonathan.
Yeah. You know, we also, being a full service podcast here, we have a couple of new features. One is if you go to awarenessexplorers.com, we now have all our guided meditations on the landing page under meditation. So you can literally click on that and listen to any one of our many, many guided meditations just through a click of the button. And that's a great resource, one that I'm personally using because I think, wow, that's really good. And I like instant meditations that require pretty much no effort. So that's been good. And also, if you would like to know more about working with Brian or I in awareness coaching, we have a thing in the navigation bar about our awareness coaching that we now do with people. And you're welcome to read that and then email us if you want more information. So that gives people a lot of possibilities. And really, since the world is always getting us to focus on either stupid stuff or things that we have to do, but not the peace and joy at the center of our true nature, we're trying to create a support group so that you have as much support as you need to find the place in you that is truly awake and has always been there.
I love what you said about being a full service podcast. I think that's really great. And the meditations, by the way, You can download them also from the site, either in audio-only versions or video, although the videos are not very interactive. They're just a nice little graphic picture. But they're also on a YouTube playlist called Meditations from Awareness Explorers. And as a matter of fact, all our full episodes are also on YouTube in the Awareness Explorers playlist. So there's so many ways to hang out with us and listen to us. And I hope we get to hang out with you too sometime.
Yeah, feel free to email us. And feel free to keep exploring this method in yourself and let us know how it works for you. We like to put out good stuff and we'd love to hear how it impacts you. So until next time, keep exploring.
Keep exploring.
Thank you for listening to Awareness Explorers. To learn more, you can check out our website at awarenessexplorers.com. Please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast app. And we'd love it if you would post a review. And please share our link on Facebook and with family and friends. Because knowing yourself as awareness is the greatest gift you can give yourself or someone you love.